I hope this won't be a sermon that you're going to take wrong, thinking that I'm condemning anyone in here or passing judgment. I just think it's something that needs to be addressed. As I said, I heard David Wilkerson preach his sermon online, and Brother Wilkerson was killed in a car accident in 2010, went to be with the Lord, but he was a very powerful preacher, and he was a man of God. And Brother Wilkerson believed in holiness in the life of a believer, and he preached some very profound messages. And when I heard this one, I thought, it touched me and affected me so much, I thought, I got to preach that. So I'm letting you know that Dave Wilkerson originally came up with this because I don't want anybody thinking that I'm a plagiarist. And as far as having original ideas, I remember in Bible college they said there are very few original ideas. Ministers swap sermons, text ideas. They said one theologian was talking to another, and he said something. He said, "Boy, I like that. Can I use that?" He said, "Well, go ahead. I got it from somebody else." So Brother David Wilkerson wrote the thoughts. And of course, I'm doing this in my own way, but it's something I really want to talk about, and it's entitled Counterfeit Christianity. And this text will be from John chapter 8, verses 30 through 47. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you look for an opportunity to kill me, because there is no place in you for my word. I declare what I have seen in my Father's presence. As for you, you should do what you have heard from the Father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are indeed doing what your father does." They said to him, "We are not illegitimate children. We have one father, even God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and now I am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot accept my word. You are from your father, the devil, and you choose to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is from God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not from God." Seems to be very harsh words. I want to give you some background. I learned this in preaching lab, and it works well. Whenever you're teaching a subject or speaking on a subject, it's good to establish who Jesus is talking to. These are not Gentiles. These are Jews. These are people under God's covenant. These are people who have grown up under the law all their lives. These are people who attend synagogue every Sabbath, and they have the law of Moses read and taught to them. And here in this instance, when Jesus said he's talking to the Jews, many of them are leaders in the synagogues. They are Pharisees. They are teachers of the law. This is during the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus is in Jerusalem. That's one of the three feasts God commanded the Jews to meet together every year at the place where he would put his name, which was in Jerusalem at this time. And he said, you gather there every year, three times a year, and present yourselves before the Lord. And this is one of those feasts. And Jesus had been teaching in the temple, and the first day he was not very well received. People opposed what he said. They contradicted him. They more or less called him a liar. They didn't like his teaching. And you can almost understand that his men probably thought, Lord, let's just stop. Let's go. They don't want to hear this. You know, there's other people that like your teaching. They evidently are going to listen to it. And Jesus went out and spent the night on the Mount of Olives, and then he came back the next day, and he's teaching. And the people began to become more responsive to what he's saying. And in fact, the scriptures say many of them believe in him. Now, I want to let you know without a shadow of doubt that the scholars, the translators, say the implication here is they begin to believe he's the Messiah. That's the Christ that we've been waiting for. And in today's culture, I believe this, the preachers and teachers of today would run out among that crowd and say, you're a child of God now because you believe. We want you to join our church because now you're a Christian because you believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And we would slap them on the back and we would give them our little salvation pamphlet and what do I do now? And we would welcome them into the family of God and say, you're God's children. But I want to show you this morning, Jesus is not impressed with surface faith. These were God's people. These were people who believed they knew God, they understood God, and now they took the next step of supposed faith and said, we believe you're the Messiah. And you think Jesus would have been elated by that. Now, I'm sure he's pleased because they're stepping in the right direction. But Jesus sees through them. He sees to the heart. And what he is doing here that we're talking about this morning, this isn't a rebuke where he's trying to run these people off. This is him telling them, this is how it's got to be. I want to tell you this something this morning. There'll be many believers thrown into the lake of fire. Jesus is not impressed just with a believer. He wants you to be his disciple. Big difference. Big difference. We're going to talk this morning about three things that are prevalent in counterfeit Christianity. As I've said, many today would have rushed in among these men and women and said, now you're God's kids because all you got to do is believe. Jesus didn't say that. The first thing about a counterfeit believer is they are blind to their bondage to sin and they become very defensive if you point that out. As these people did. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, he's addressing the people that just said, we believe you're the Messiah. He said, well, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. You see, Jesus takes the next step. He says, it's not enough that you believe I'm the Messiah. That's great. But if you believe that I am the one I claim to be, then you have to stay in my word. Abide in my word. He said, then you're my disciples. This is what will set you apart from the merely mouth professors, I call them. The people that just say, believe it and claim it, and that makes me a Christian. A Baptist preacher that I worked with for 5 years on the ambulance was sharing his testimony with me one day, and he said, you know, Rick, for years I rode John 3:16 to hell. Because he said Christians would invite me to church, and I'd say, I know what the Bible says. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And he said, I believed in Jesus. If you asked me who Jesus was, I said, well, I believe he's God's Son. Do you believe he died on a cross? Yes, I do. Do you believe he died for your sins? Sure, I do. So I'm going to heaven, because that's what the Bible says. And Jesus saying to these people that believe in him, he said, if you'll stay in my word, then you're my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Continue. The NIV says if you continue. The Greek there means to stay in, to live in, and to dwell in. That's more than a head belief. Jesus said, if you'll let my word live in you, if you will live in my word, then you'll know the truth. When I was in kickboxing years ago, my trainer, that's when professional kickboxing really started getting big in this country back in the late 70s, early 80s. He said, if you'll get serious for 6 months, I'll train you and we'll go pro. And you can go to Tulsa and fight all the bad boys. Well, they didn't pay enough to get my head kicked in the way I felt about it. But he told me one time, he said, if you were as serious about martial arts as you are about partying, he said, man, you'd just be a terror. Well, I never forgot that. He said, in order to be a martial artist, you must eat, sleep, and drink martial arts. And he was right. To acquire to what he wanted me to acquire to, he was asking of me, he said, if you'll give me 6 months undivided attention, you'll put everything on the back burner for 6 months, I'll make you a pro. And I said, no, thank you. I don't want somebody caving my head in and me being a nursing home eating oatmeal through a straw for the rest of my life. Because, you know, let's face it, I had about 19 knockouts in 30 fights, and I quit because I got tired of getting knocked out. I just wasn't that good, and I didn't want to be professional. And Jesus this morning is saying to these believers, you will have to commit your life to me, then you'll know the truth. You have to let my word live in you, then you'll be free. And as I said, counterfeit Christians are blind to their bondage of sin, and they become very offended if it's pointed out. They got offended. You see, a true believer will rejoice at this. Somebody that's really seeking a Savior would say, hallelujah, I surrender. You're telling me if I believe in you and I follow you that I'll know the truth? Well, that's what I want to know. So show me where to start. The true believer will seek the Word of God like the pearl of great price. Jesus said they'll sell everything they have to get that pearl. Listen to the response of the counterfeit believer. They answered him, we are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying we'll be made free? Jesus said, if Abraham's your father, you ought to do what Abraham did. You see how offended they got? What do you mean, slaves? We're not slaves. What do you mean, sin? I don't think that's sin. I remember a man I had prayed with years ago, prayed the sinner's prayer with him. I'd been witnessing to him, and he said he was ready to receive Jesus. And I prayed with him, and I was elated. Man, I walked around for 2 weeks just, wow, you know, this guy finally came to Christ. And I was talking to him one day, and he was dating another man's wife. They were separated. And I said, you can't do that. Why? I said, that's adultery. I don't see nothing wrong with it. And I knew. I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I knew then something didn't happen. Because the Spirit of Christ would not let you get away with that attitude. Amen. Jesus is talking to a bunch of people that believe in Him. And today, as I said, many of us would say, well, now you're God's child because you professed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Now don't get angry and shut me out. Because I'm trying to show you this morning in this text that Jesus is not impressed with just that. It doesn't stop there. And they said, what do you mean, slave? We're not slaves. Who do you think you are? Then they said, we're God's children. Later on in the conversation, we're God's kids. He said, well, if you was Abraham's kid, you do what Abraham did. Well, we're God's kids. Jesus said, well, if you were God's kids, you would love me. Because I'm God's kid. I came from God. He sent me. You would love me because the Father sent me. Well, Yeah, but Jesus told Nicodemus, for God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen and amen. So be it, so be it. Jesus said that. That's the truth. But you know, we always stop there and we don't go on to the rest of the text. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, here's the verdict. Men love darkness instead of the light. And they won't come to the light because their deeds will be reproved and exposed as evil. If they'll come to the light, He said, their deeds will be exposed. But God does that for a reason, to show you what's in you and saying you need to be delivered from sin. You can't be saved if you don't know you need a Savior. Just saying, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. Now, wait a minute. I've been told all my life all I got to do is believe. The word believe there doesn't mean just believe with your head. It means it's a belief that impacts your whole life. And it's a life-changing belief. And it goes on from the time you make that confession to the time they lay you down on the ground. You're always living, always changing. And when Jesus says to believe in Him, some of the scholars have written, like in the Amplified Bible, it means to cling to Him, to trust Him with everything in your life. He becomes your life. So Jesus isn't talking about something like a belief in Santa Claus. He said, you have to believe. And He told Nicodemus, men love their darkness. And He said, whoever hates the light does so because they love evil. Well, I think I can be a gay Christian, or I can be a Christian and be a drunkard. My Bible says homosexuals will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Gay Christian is an oxymoron. That's two words that don't go together. You can be gay and get saved, and you're a Christian, and God will deliver you from sexual bondage. You can be drunkard and come to Christ, and He will deliver you from that alcoholism. He will not leave you there. He will not condone it. He will not wink at your sin and say, well, I'm going to let you into heaven because you were born that way. You can be a believer and be as lost as the devil. And that's what Jesus is telling these people, and they believe in God, and they're so offended they can't stand it. Wait a minute, I believe in God. I believe in you. Jesus said, well, if you believe in me, then get ready to take the next step. Because I'm not so thrilled with you believing in me. What's going to matter is, are you my disciple? A disciple is a student of a master. And a disciple's goal was not only to know what the master knew, but to live just like the master. They wanted to become like their master. And that's the word Jesus used to describe His people. You are my disciples if you'll stay in the Word. Paul said to the church in Thessalonians, we were talking about that this morning, he said, let him who steals, steals no more. But let him work with his hands so he can provide for those who are in need. He's talking to thieves that get saved. He said, you used to be a thief. You're not a thief anymore. Not if you're a Christian. Not if you're a disciple of Christ. Let those who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. These people thought, we already got a relationship with God. What else you have to offer? And Jesus said, you think you have a relationship. You see, a lot of people know about God. Not as many know Him. Well, what's the difference? It's the difference between life and death. You can know about God and die in your sins. You can know about Jesus and die in your sins. Jesus said, if you don't believe I'm the one I claim to be, you're going to die in your sins. Well, now either He's a liar or He is who He claims to be. I think He is who He claims to be. So it behooves me to find out what He wants from me. And He said, I want your life. James said, you believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. When's the last time you shuddered at God's Word? When's the last time you read the Word of God and trembled? Well, now, Christians aren't supposed to be afraid of God. God said to the prophet Isaiah, this is the man I esteem, he who trembles at my Word. It doesn't mean God wants you to just sit around and shake. It means God says you believe so much what I say that it'll make you shake. When you think about the destiny of those who forsake this Word. So, I want to be a believer, but no surrender, no separation from the world, no change. The kids at Calvary Temple in Mountain Grove did a skit like that called Drive Through Salvation. I got to see one night at the Y. And I'll tell you what, now they preached a message. People were pulling up to the intercom, yes, I would like salvation without commitment. One order of salvation without commitment. And they drive through. You're saved. I'd like salvation without change. You know, I still want to hold on to what I want to do and be a Christian. All right, great, you know. And it was so goofy when you was watching it. You sat there, if you was a Christian, you go, well, that's not how it is. But them kids hit home. Because how many times do we say, well, now I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to be that saved. You know, I don't want to be that weird guy that won't listen to the radio and watch TV, and he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't chew, he doesn't run with those that do. And, you know, boy, that's kind of weird. So you want a salvation that doesn't require any change on your part. You want to kick back and say, God made me this way, so I'm just going to rest in my sin. That's what these people were doing. And Jesus said, it doesn't matter if you believe in me. What matters is, are you my disciple? Listen to who he's talking to. These are people that call him Messiah. We think you're the Messiah. The problem they're having here is Jesus told Nicodemus, first off, you have to be born again. When Nicodemus came and talked to him, Jesus said, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a teacher of the Jews, and the Jews were convinced if anybody was going to enter heaven, the Pharisees were, because them dudes were strict. You know, they carried a strainer with them when they drank wine just to make sure no gnat got in their wine, because a gnat was an unclean bug, and they didn't want to accidentally ingest a gnat. And Jesus told him, you know, you strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel whole. That offended them. Who do you think you are, boy? I'm a Pharisee. I've got my seminary degree hanging right up there in my office. I don't know God. I've memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. Well, the devil can quote the Bible. He said, you know, you Pharisees, you're like a whitewashed tomb. Every year, they would whitewash the tombs outside the city because people would come in on the pilgrimage and they'd say, look at those beautiful tombs. And Jesus said, you're just like those tombs. You look good on the outside, but boy, on the inside, you're full of everything that's unclean. They didn't open the tombs for you to go tour because there were things in there they didn't want you to see and smell. And Jesus said, when God looks at you, that's exactly how you look to him. People look at you and say, boy, what a Christian. God looks at you and says, you're dead. You're not alive to me. You see, that's what Jesus is talking about. My word needs to be alive in you so you will be alive to me. Do you know that this Bible here is a living thing? Well, this is just paper, brother, with leather fronts, or if, like mine, a little cheaper vinyl front looks like leather because I'm too cheap to buy a real leather-bound one. You know, well, that's just written words on a page. The Bible says this book is living and sharper than any double-edged sword, and it's for the laying open of our hearts and shows us what's in us. And Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you'll live in that. But Paul said to the church of Colossae, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The same word. Let it abide in you. Let Christ's word live in you. You can't do that if you don't believe it's the word. You'll be a Christian that says, well, I know the Bible says, but. I know the Bible talks against sexual sin, but I have needs. I know the Bible says not to become drunk, but hey, once in a while the pressures just get to me and, you know, I got to take a few drinks. And well, I want to tell you something. Jesus said you're responsible for what you know. And when you stand before the throne on the day, he'll say, you knew this and you did it anyway. What are you going to say? Well, but Lord. No, not but. Jesus said, be careful what you know, because unto whom I give much, I require much. He's talking to people here that believe in him. He isn't doing this to try to make them run. He's trying to make them see that they are lost and they need a Savior. And they're offended at it. The second thing is counterfeit believers refuse to repent even when Jesus speaks to them. Jesus tells them they cannot accept his word. They have to be born again. He said the sinful mind is hostile to God. Paul said that in Romans. He's talking about the difference between God's children and the children of the world. He said the children of the world, they might believe in God, they might confess God, they might confess Jesus Christ, but God's word's foolishness to them. They won't read it. They'll read it and then they won't listen to it. They won't obey it. And he said, because they're fleshly. That word fleshly just simply means they don't possess the Spirit of Christ. And the word is foolishness to them. It makes no sense and they're not even going to try. So they have to form their own grade of Christianity. This is what I think it means to be a Christian. And these people here said, we know God. And Jesus is saying, in essence, no, you know about Him. You don't know Him. And he told them that later. He said, you know what? If I said I didn't know God, I'd be a liar like you. You say you know Him and you're a liar. That's what Jesus said. You're a liar. You don't know Him. I do. But good news, He invites us to know Him. Jesus invites us to know the Father. He said, I will make Him known to you. He will make me known to you. And the Holy Spirit will make all of us known to you. But it's my way, not yours. The fleshly mind is not on the things of God, but on the things of men. A counterfeit Christian has their foot in both worlds. They have it in the world of the Spirit. They have it in the world of the world. And instead of obeying the admonition of the Word that says you must be crucified with Christ, they crucify the Word instead of their flesh. Paul said that to Peter. He said, look, Peter, I've been crucified with Christ. I don't live anymore. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul realized I've been bought with a price. Peter later said to the church, you're not your own. You've been redeemed with things, not like silver and gold, but with the blood of Jesus. You don't belong to you anymore. If you're a Christian, your body isn't just your body to do with as you please. It's His. He bought and paid for it. I'm going to tell you something. Coming from a background of the depths of sin, when Jesus says to me, I'll make you free, that you can't give me all the gold in Fort Knox for that promise. Because I know what that's like. And the Savior says, I will make you free. The truth will make you free. And you know, He's never let me down yet. Never let me down yet. And even though Jesus, the one they claim to believe in as Messiah, is telling them this, they refuse to believe Him. They are offended. They have shut Him off. You're calling me a sinner and I don't think I'm a sinner. Well, how can you be saved if you don't know you're a sinner? No one who does not know that they are cut off from God can be brought to fellowship with God. But that's what we try to do a lot today. I'm here to tell you, if this was a Billy Graham crusade, and not making fun of Brother Graham, but these people would have come to the front of the altar and said, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, they'd say, you're saved. Bless the Lord. Take these pamphlets home and decide what church you want to join. These people look at Jesus and said, hey, we believe in you. And Jesus said, well, good. Now, here's what you need to do. And it made him mad. What do you mean, here's what I need? We already said we believe in you. Jesus saying, well, I'm glad you believe me, but that's not enough. James said, faith without works is dead. Faith produces works in your life. The Holy Spirit came to live within us so we would know the Lord and we would grow. Well, am I saying that we never make mistakes or never sin as Christians? That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying you can get in the pig pen as a Christian, but you're not going to stay there. A disciple of Jesus Christ, sin breaks their heart. You would rather eat dirt than sin. And when you find out you sin, it breaks your heart. And that's why Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. He was talking about mourning over your sin, mourning over who you are without Christ. Jesus pointed out to these people that they are in fact the children of the devil. These believers in Him. What's He based that on? He said, because you're going to do what He does. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And Jesus knew that some of these very men that were standing there saying, we believe in you, were going to demand His execution. You see, Jesus said, I can tell who your Father is. You say He's God. I know it's not. You're of your father, the devil. But wait a minute, I believe. Jesus said on that day, on the day of judgment, many will say to me, but Lord, We preached in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We done all these wonderful things in your name. And Jesus said, I will say to them, I never knew you. When he said here, those who commit sin are slaves, the Greek word there actually says those who practice sinning. Because everybody commits sin. We sin sometimes in ignorance. We sin in passion. We sin in misthought. You know, we stumble into sin. Jesus isn't talking about that. He's saying those who continually live and practice sin are slaves to sin. He said, I came to set you free. Do you believe that this morning? Why would I serve a God that says, look, Rick, you're just this rotten, filthy sinner, and I'm going to save you by my grace, but I'm not going to change you. You're going to just keep being a rotten, filthy sinner, controlled by your sin desires, till I come and set you free. No, thank you. No, thank you. I want delivered. And the last thing, instead of being angry that they are deceived and separated from God because of their sins, they become angry at Jesus for exposing their sins. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus isn't standing up here spitting and fuming and shaking his fist at these people. He is in love saying, look, you don't get it. And you got to come to me and believe I am the one I claim to be. You are lost. And they're saying, what do you mean we're lost, boy? We're under the covenant of Abraham. We're God's children. And Jesus said, no, you're not. You're just lost as you can be. Listen to their response. Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? Whoa, what a change of attitude. You went from being Messiah to a demon-possessed Samaritan. Years ago, when I was a baby Christian, I'd been sharing with my neighbors. They'd been coming to a church I was at. And back then, man, I just honed in on people. They'd show up at church, and if I could find them, I'd go talk to them. I just thought that was part of a ministry. And I'd been talking to them about the Lord and talking to them about the Lord. And they both ended up coming to Christ. I'm not patting me on the back. I'm just saying I was so thrilled. They were both come to Christ. They were both baptized into Christ. And one day she asked me a question, and I answered her. And she said, so many times I've heard the Holy Spirit speak through you, but that was a demon. What? You know, a demon? And I thought, I think I know kind of how the Lord felt. Now, I'm not putting myself in Jesus' place. But what made her matter was I said, well, that's all right. They accused Jesus of the same thing. Are you claiming to be equal with Jesus? I said, no, he's my Lord. But he said I was going to get treated just like he did. And I said, you just proved him right. Oh, boy, she was hot. And here these people are saying, we believe that you're the Son of God. And he said, well, good, because you're lost. No, you're a demon-possessed Samaritan if you think I'm lost. Don't you dare point out my sin. Just because the majority believes something's true doesn't make it true. Adolf Hitler said, if you tell a lie long enough, people will believe it. Look how much they believed him. They killed 6 million people, plus. Because they thought they were a master race. Because they'd been lied to long enough, they said, yeah. Then they said, are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? I come out of a Bible study at the Nazarene Church one time. This lady was just fuming. We were studying a Southern Baptist preacher's book on experiencing God. James Blackaby. Maybe you heard of him. That man had a grasp on holiness that I have not seen in a lot of holiness preachers. And it was called Experiencing God. And boy, I mean, it's one of them Bible studies you go to just, because Blackaby talking about when the Spirit of God's there and he begins to work in your life. And I was walking out, and that lady and her daughter walked with me. She looked at me and she said, you know what? Preachers just think they're perfect. And then she stops and said, wait a minute, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am. Well, I didn't mean you. I said, that's not his opinion. We were talking about what the Word of God says. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, you don't have to believe it. I mean, you can go on not believe it. But it kind of bothered me. I thought, now you're a Christian and you're mad at this guy for pointing the truth? And he didn't write the book, or James. Henry Blackaby wrote it. Of course, he's dead. You can't say anything to him. But when you point out sin to people today, especially, Gary mentioned it, well, you're bigoted, you're narrow-minded, you're intolerant, you're not supposed to call that sin, you're supposed to call that an alternative lifestyle, you're supposed to acknowledge I was born this way. I've yet to hear a serial killer say, well, I was born a serial killer, I killed my first person at 2 in nursery school, hid the body in the sandbox, you know. Well, and we laugh at that, but that's what we do if they say that on the TV. We go, pfft. But yet they can call other sins that the Bible says are abomination and hateful things to God and say, well, I was just born that way. And we go, oh, put your head on my chest, let me pat you and love on you, you know, like your mama should have. Baloney. Jesus said, you're a sinner, you're lost, you need me. That's why I came. And that's what he's saying to these people. How did they react? It says, then they picked up stones to stone him. They went from admiration to hatred that quick. Because Jesus, as Gary mentioned this morning, Jesus didn't back up. He didn't say, well, now wait a minute, I didn't mean to make you guys mad. Come on, we can talk. Let's compromise. Jesus said, you're lost. And you're going to die in your sins. Unless you believe I'm the one I claim to be. And they got so mad they picked up rocks and said, we're going to kill this guy now. We don't want to hear this. What's the point? Ask yourself a question this morning. Am I a believer or am I a disciple? Why don't you stand with me? If you're a disciple, I'm here to tell you that we've got such a bright future. If you're here this morning, you say, you know, I'm a believer, but I'm really not a disciple. Jesus doesn't control my life. His word doesn't please me. Every time I read that in the Road to Emmaus, where Jesus is talking to those two guys, and they don't know who he is, and after he disappears, they realize who he is. This scripture always gets me. They said, didn't our hearts burn within us when he talked about the scriptures? That's a disciple. Does the word of God speak to you? Does it burn? If it doesn't, maybe you need to come up here today and make a decision to be a disciple of Christ. The Bible says, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And after that, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Let's sing our song of invitation, please.